Did y'all hear that? It's so loud. Okay.
Yeah, I'll share.
Okay.
Okay, so I was out in front taking my dog to go to the bathroom, and she's so, you know, picky. I was just talking to Jamie back there about that. And anyway, I was tending to go kind of negative in my head, you know, and I heard this the other day, and it's a fact. We have 66,000 thoughts going on in our head, like, every day. Mm-hmm. And most of them are negative. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, rewiring, we talked about. But anyway, just to sort of go there, I just thought, heard it, you know, in my spirit, prime attribute. Mm-hmm. You're perfect. You're exactly what I want you to be. Mm-hmm. Would you delight in that? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yes. And I looked around, and it was so beautiful. And I just thought, you know, this creation is shouting at us. And we were looking today at the creator. And
that's so good.
I was just, I mean, because that was true.
Yeah.
And where I was going was a big fat loss.
I love that the second part of it was, would you delight in that? Yeah. Would you just enjoy it? Let it sink and in. And savor it.
I mean, did we not see that in Zephaniah? We didn't get to that. That's so good because he sings over us and we are delightful in him.
Okay, what Candy's talking about is the end of the lesson last week. I put these little extra things at the bottom sometimes. I don't know why any of it happens. It just does. And you can tell that this is more like a glorified journaling because you're engaging more than anything else. And I remember looking at that going, why would it be Deuteronomy 7 and why Zephaniah? And then I read it. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. So at the end of last week on page 16, if you have 15 extra minutes this week, please read those. And it's just these tiny little blanks. And you can do this anywhere, anytime with any scripture, which is the hope of these little exercises, is that you'll never, ever, ever, ever feel lost in scripture. Like, where should I go? What should I do? Anything like that. Just start making a list. What do I learn about God? What do I learn about me? And on this, I just kind of wrote, who are you? And says who, which is what I learn about God. And so take a moment and read those two passages in Deuteronomy and Zephaniah. It's so beautiful because the fact the Lord sings over you. Which in these scriptures, it was like a fire hydrant. At the end, there's like the same three questions every week. None of it's rocket science. It was sort of like, what do you want to take away? What a blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And I was sort of like, this was a fire hydrant. It was such a massive amount of information. And I was really glad I thought I stopped because I want to go, what is it that hit me this week? And what you just said, and the thing about scripture that's so wonderful is that it's the truth. Wherever you are, it's going to be a truth that speaks to you intimately. And it's going to be something that you've been going, yes, 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 yes. And when Cami, you were talking about your thoughts and what you're ruminating on, that is our dwelling place. And I was like, where am I dwelling? Okay. Your dwelling place. Because sometimes I hit these things and I'm like, why did I put Psalm 91 in here? Until I sat in it going, he is my dwelling place, which informs everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, I'm dwelling somewhere. You're dwelling somewhere. And it's like, where am I dwelling? And it could be in the middle of the night when we wake up and going, I'm very unsettled. I'm pretty sure everybody in this room has felt that way. Some times more significantly than others. And when you start calling out where your dwelling place is, it helps you go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. It helps you breathe. Because he's the breath of life. And so today we're going back into Genesis 1 again, lest you think it's boring. And we're going to, this time, instead of look at the creation, look at the creator. All right. And I hope that made sense in just thinking about this. So we're on Elohim. And man, I'm the biggest fan of his names. I have no words. It would kind of tears me up because I call them out all the time. They're very helpful. Mm-hmm. Like they're actually a lifeline. And I was sitting with one of my kids this week and just saying, call out his name, call out his name. And for whatever reason, that kid couldn't get past the, well, here I have to do something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was sort of like, yes, but no, because it's in the calling that you receive. And then I was sort of like, I totally get it. This isn't my shtick. And mm-hmm. I heard almost audibly, let me handle this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Because as moms or friends or daughters, I mean, it's very easy for us as women to finagle and just kind of go, well, here's the thing to do. Like, here's what I need to do. I need to connect here and here. And then once they're connected and you call them and then it's going to be fixed. And it just was this like, stop.
Yeah.
You let me handle this. And I was like, okay, yes. And so, and there's freedom in that. And there's also a call to walk in it, but it really isn't in our own strength. And there goes the bizarre mystery of all of this stuff. There's a mystery in it because he is mysterious. And let me tell you something, you want it because his vastness is so vast. There's no beginning or end. And that's who your God is. And so of course there's a mystery. You know what I mean? So let's start with Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And this is where Elohim appears, okay? Genesis 1:1 says, and this is from Adrian Rogers. I tried to pull oldies but goodies. You may or may not know. Sometimes there's people that we do know. But Cash, he's a really good theologian. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It literally says, in the beginning, Elohim. Elohim created the heaven and the earth. That's the Hebrew word from two root words. El, which means strength and unlimited power. Mm-hmm. Okay, so think about that for a second. You're going to see some of God's names have El in front of it, mm-hmm. and some have Jehovah in front of it. Jehovah is a name we're going to get to, and it means I am. It is the no beginning, no end. It's the name that he told Moses when Moses said, who should I say send me? And it is I am. Tell them I am sent you. And that is a powerful name. There is a verb for Pete's sake. Like nobody is a verb except God because there's no beginning and end. El means strength and unlimited power. Okay. There's no limit to his existence, Jehovah. There's no limit to his power, El. Okay. And next to, and the last part of and the last part of, see, here's a typo. Happy day. Thank you. Please tell me when you see him. It's Allah, which means to keep a promise. Elohim, the plural noun. I believe that right here on the threshold of the Bible, we see an indication of the nature of God as shown in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three were present in creation. See John 1:3, because the Bible is going to prove itself all through the Bible. Aren't you glad we find the Savior in chapter 1, verse 2? Aren't you glad we find the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, verse 1? Aren't you glad, verse 1 was the other one. Aren't you glad we find the Father in chapter 1, verse 1 of the Word of God? Yeah, I am. What a powerful name. The first name of God we see in Scripture is found in Genesis 1, Elohim, the all-powerful one, creator, God alone. Is the all-powerful creator of the universe. He spoke creation into existence and breathed life into all creatures above and below the waters that were anchored by land and sky and light and dark, ruled over by man, the only being created in God's image. Elohim is repeated in almost every verse of Genesis 1, introducing not only creation, but a plural noun in relation to it. The basic meaning behind the name Elohim is one of strength or power or effect. The Elohim is God, the maker of the universe and the supreme creator of all life. I mean, all of those we could just stop and linger in. Elohim emphasizes God's power and strength as demonstrated in his creating something from nothing, literally the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them. Creator sets him above all, in all, and over all. I don't know what's happening in your life today, but please let that inform whatever it is. He is over all, he's in all, and he's above all. All, like not some, all, always, like forever. How might that truth inform our day today? Anybody? Anybody up for sharing?
Just the reality that my God is sovereign over all.
Yeah.
Brings comfort, gives me security, brings me peace and hope. Mm-hmm. And it led me to Psalm 24:1 that says, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it and all who are in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm his. Everything's his. Mm-hmm. He's got me. He's got us. And that's security, hope, comfort.
Yeah.
So.
And then apply it to whatever is like unsettling, like whatever hit you in the yard the other day.
Yeah.
It's like call it in.
Just all jump. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he cares about every detail.
Yeah.
I mean, he cares that like the kid's orthodontist appointment is moved tomorrow, that I might remember it. He cares that I might remember to pay the water bill. And I've done both of those today.
Now you're winning.
I'm on a winning streak. But he really cares about those things, the circumstances, every person, you know, everything that's happened and everything that will happen. That's how big his enormity of caring is. And the element speaks into that. Anybody else?
I think it's so comforting to hear that. So even though we forget throughout the day and we get frustrated,
that's a great point,
or stressful, it doesn't matter what we are remembering and thinking, because he is always there no matter what.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Talk about helping you breathe.
Yeah.
And it's not like some flagrant thing. Because remember in Romans 6, because Paul is outing the fact that you're saved, like you're free. And people would say to him, you know, really? So now I have a freedom to sin. And he was like, and he said, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? By no means. It's not a flagrant in your face, I'm free, so I'm never thinking about it again. It's a beautiful invitation that actually attracts you to be able to live in that freedom and think, you know? And that's so beautiful. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter if I remember. He can't change. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else?
I think it also puts everything into perspective.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a little thing. It's like, why are we been stressed about the little things? My God,
and he cares about those little things.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like an appointment that has to be moved. It's so annoying, but...
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Isn't it funny though? Because your perspective does change, and then it's like, great, I'm so happy to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's legit. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. I just there's like no words.
That's what I put mind blowing.
Mind blowing.
It's everything in a perspective.
Yeah, and then it's like I want to know Elohim, and Elohim's endless. Mm-hmm. Which is why heaven's going to be such a blast, because it'll be forever getting to know him. Mm-hmm. And we just get to know him without seeing him here. And it's a beautiful thing. Anybody else? Our next question, how might we allow these to inform our identity, like who you are? This, you know how we talked about when we did our introductions, those parts of our identity that we aren't real keen about, things like insecurities or fears or need to control or whatever it is that's that part of us that we're like, I would like that to be informed so I don't buy into that as much. And how does this inform your identity?
Well, I have fought my identity a long time because I'm a black or white thinker.
Yeah.
So if you're in Christ, then you have to be this way. And I had sometimes have disassociated parts of myself because then they weren't good enough.
Yeah.
But really, he created all of me. And so when I look at, like, he is the creator, he into the tiny detail of every tiny little flower, he purposely made that flower in that way, different from that flower in that way. And that doesn't mean that those parts are better than those parts of this flower. And so it informs me that underneath his grace and righteousness, he made me loud.
Yeah.
He made me kind of bossy, a little, not bossy, but direct. I just kind of direct. But that's not.
What do you say? I'm glad she's back.
But that's not wrong.
Right.
That doesn't mean, oh, she's a minister's wife, so she needs to be quiet. No, I'm made how I'm made. I was a flower made in this way, but I can use it to his glory.
Yeah. So good.
And that's what this speaks. He spoke all of it. He made the sun to shine brighter than this certain star. And that's not wrong. It just made it brighter for purpose.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Total sense. Mm-hmm.
And so that's in his power. He made it on purpose for purpose in different ways. Just like everyone in here. And it's all under his beauty. No matter if she's quieter and she's more direct and she's more... you know, it doesn't matter. It matters, I'm saying, but those parts of ourselves that we want to be like, oh, God, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's still part of how he made it. He wants to use it for his glory. Does that make sense? Is it our own?
And really good.
So.
I like that. I think that informs a lot about our identity, for sure.
But I have wanted to disassociate it because I'm a Christian, so therefore that might not be okay.
Well, it definitely speaks into also like whatever the circumstances are and the situations of the day and age that you're living in, because in another time that might have been a great thing, even as a Christian, or it may have been even worse. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is something that supersedes every circumstance and situation. Mm-hmm. And he has the power to be able to use that purpose in the way that he would like it to be used in an intimate, beautiful way. Of allowing you to lean into it.
Right.
Or all of us.
All of us, right?
Well, and that's the part of being a masterpiece. A masterpiece is unique.
It is unique. And it's purposely created that way.
Right.
We're not all unique. We're not robots. So she's a daisy and I'm a lily. Right? I mean, but he made the daisy to have certain parts of it be certain ways. And he made the lily to do a certain way. And that doesn't mean... probably should because that's what a Christian, I don't know, I just get real off on that soapbox, so I'll get off. But that's what he is unlimited power in creation, right?
Yep.
And it's all different, and
it's ordained, and that's one thing we'll see even as we look at Elohim, because a lot of times we can be a certain way because of what's happened to us.
Correct.
And to be able to allow even those things to have a place in informing me in wholeness,
right,
rather than stealing from me,
correct,
is significant also, because as creator, we will see that on one of the days he creates seasons. Mm-hmm. And he creates seasons so that we can see the seasons and live into creation around us and let it inform, but also allow it to inform seasons in your life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they're dormant. Sometimes they're full of growth. Sometimes the dormancy lasts for a very, very, very long time. And anyway, it's just so fascinating. Okay, so... Ken Hemphill, who's a person, there are a few people that really have studied the names of God, and he's one of them. And he said, Elohim is infinite, all-powerful God, who shows by his works that he is the creator, sustainer, and supreme judge of the world. Okay? All right, so, says who? The creator, Elohim. Begin with prayer, which I hope you do when you start. You know, just open my eyes so I might see in who you are. You know, show me who you are. And then we are going to, I'm going to run through Genesis 1. What time is it? Because we read this last week, but I want to run through it again, and I'll read it quickly. And this time, I want you to really listen, and even, I know you've made notes, but make note again, if something jumps out to you about God, about Elohim, even as we've discussed him a little bit before reading. Okay, because I really want to get through Psalm 91 and through Isaiah 41, which we probably won't get through reading all of that one, but wowzer. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, with capital letters. And there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the mass in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters, and there were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Okay, just so you know, every molecule obeys him, for Pete's sake. I mean, it separated itself from itself. Oh my gosh. And then one day he walked on it like hard, like ground. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, and each according to its kind on earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding and according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, and which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven, and separate the day from the night, and let there be signs for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good, and he blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Isn't that interesting? Because here's where he introduces it to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Every tiny little creepy thing, even the little silverfish that are in our bathroom, and I don't even know what those things are. And there they creep along. And God he said it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock and all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Every creature that needed taken care of was taken care of, because there was a provision over. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and the sea and the birds and over the heavens and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with its seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And we're going to stop there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to just start, because I know y'all read the second chapter too, but let's just get into the questions. What happens when God speaks? And what can we learn about God and order?
He brings order from chaos.
He brings order from chaos. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Just that brilliant, brilliant provision you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The thing he made this day could not exist without the thing the day prior. And there was no scientific basis. There was no field of study that he's, I mean, just in his divine wisdom that I have to make this, and then that's going to make this possible, and then that's going to make this possible. All of these things that he made for us, for our joy, for our use. Incredible.
Okay, so both of those things. He brings order out of chaos, and it is ordered so that there's provision once everything happens. How does that speak into your day today?
Trust it. Mm-hmm. Get out of the way.
Because you
get out of the way. I like that.
Okay.
His word is powerful, an effective word.
Okay, because what happens when he speaks?
It is so.
Okay.
It happens. Like it there.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Was there ever anything that he spoke and it didn't happen? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's fast forward a little bit to the New Testament. Mm-hmm. He healed. What happened?
He healed.
Go and sin no more. How about that one? Mm. That sounds like a burden, doesn't it? What if it's an invitation? Mm. What if it's an invitation? Mm. Because that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
You've been forgiven.
Yeah.
You've been forgiven. That gives me chills. Yeah. Go and sin no more. You don't have to live in the sin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's been taken care of.
Mm.
He said it. My peace I give to you.
And that is the word that is
saying. It's the word that's saying it. It can't not be. Am I living in it? You know, it's an invitation. It's an invite. It's not a directive, do this so that I will. It's do this because I've taken care of it. The Lord cries out for you every single day, which is so powerful. I just, sometimes I'm like, why didn't somebody tell me that when I was like 7 and I was struggling so with being, you know, messed up, and then the years of the trying to be okay and trying to be good enough and not being good enough and coping with the not being good enough and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, would I have heard it? I don't know. Would I have believed it? I'm not so sure I do now. But for him to say those words and for me to sit with the Creator and every single time he spoke, it was so, that's very powerful, because he can't change. It is Elohim that spoke these words, which means God incarnate. Every word he spoke is equal the same as the Creator, because he is Elohim. What? Kind of a change. How it makes you sort of excited to go read the New Testament, doesn't it? Like, I'd like to see what he said.
Yeah.
And so in my Bible, and I've noticed, I like this Bible because it has like things here. And I gave whichever one I was doing last year, because I was like, wait a second, I take a highlighter and I highlight every time he speaks, because I want to know what he's saying. And I've told you all that before, but even in this one, I was like, it was so powerful. Look, even in Genesis 1, what he spoke, when he spoke it, and what happened after he spoke it, and if he added anything after he spoke something. And so I wrote them down, if it's helpful at all. Day 1, let there be light. That's it. And it was so. Day 2, let there be an expanse in the midst and let it separate the waters, which actually means that the waters were there before he said it, which we know in verse 1, it says that they hovered over the face of the deep, which is so fascinating, to hover over the face of the deep. And then to say the words that was going to separate the deep so that the waters were separated. Fascinating. Day 3, let the waters be gathered. So they obeyed him enough to be gathered together in one place. And let land appear. And it was so. So that means that every molecule is obeying him. Like every single atom, everything we can't see. This goes to Jehovah, because I was telling Billy my favorite name is Jehovah Sabaoth. I call it out all the time because it is the Lord over all the seen and the unseen. And I feel like I think we all do. We live in this massive unseen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to know that all the seen is unseen is bowing to him because it's scaring me. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not to be fearful because he's with me. And look who's with me, Elohim, for Pete's sake. And so it's like, okay, all of it bows you. And then I get to see it in action in creation to go, and all the land just appeared. I remember hating chemistry a little bit because it was all that memorization, but somehow the molecules formed to be able to have land. Whatever molecules were involved in the face of the deep actually got together and formed land. It's just so powerful. And then you go, what in the world could ever overwhelm him? What's overwhelming me? Because it for sure isn't overwhelming him. I want to be overwhelmed by you. The next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you just mentioned it, but I find it super comforting that in verse 1 and 2, how it just says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and just knowing that the Spirit of God just hovers over me.
Yes.
The city is always so near.
Yes. And in you. Mm-hmm. Like it's gone the step further from hovering to being in you, the Spirit of God. Yeah. It is so comforting. Thank you for saying that. It's so, so comforting. Huge. Okay, what else? What else? Have y'all ever seen that cute little TikTok where the little boy's like, okay, potatoes, what else? Onions, okay, what else? It's so cute, I'll find it. What else happens? What do you see?
Well, one thing, because I'm a nerd, so it's that. Jump out at me, not from Genesis 1, but Elohim is used over 2,500 times. Mm-hmm. And in chapter 1 of Genesis, it's used 32 times. So he's trying to tell us
something. Yeah, it's every verse.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Attention. We're so easily distracted.
Yeah, and it's sweet that he knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which goes to the whole, he knows it. Yeah.
Something else I saw this week that I've never really thought about, and someone just put out that, like, Sabbath isn't a reward for hard work, but it's a gift we receive. And that I never thought of, like, humanity being created on the sixth day. And so their first day they came in a place of rest. Mm-hmm. And we're just always so busy just to, like, know that. I never really thought of that. Like, their first day after creation was the day of rest.
Which is so powerful, mm-hmm. because we're quick to go, okay, we'll rest today, go on to day one. Do we sit in the beauty of the fact that we actually rest walk? We rest walk because it's not in my power. Yet I walk and there goes the mystery, but the rest is so significant because the one who did it all had done, I mean, he didn't leave someone to themselves going, okay, now I need to figure this out. I got to figure this whole thing out. And it's fascinating and mind-numbing a little bit. Thank you for saying that. Yeah,
I
that
never
rest.
Thought about that their first day in existence was
yeah.
I've never seen it that way. Like, I've never seen it that way.
Also, he's a provider, like giving the seeds.
Isn't and that cool?
Just to think about, like, he just provides for the next, crop.
It was life, like, and I love to use the word swarmed, like the water swarmed, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just like instant teeming with
swarming.
All the,
and that life with the seeds is so significant, and it's not just like we would think of the fruit and the trees and all that, but it was every part of everything. Mm-hmm. And you repeated everything, mm-hmm. everything, because we're the same, We're born with seeds, mm-hmm. and it's just, mm-hmm. it's so fascinating. It's so full of life. Elohim is definitely the giver of life. Anything else on that?
Well,
Kay. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
It's me, Laura. I'm on ghost mode, but forgive me. I was going to say, what the thing that I find to be extra cool is that he did all of that provision before he even created us. So he provided all the things and then put us in the middle of it. So if we can't hang on to that, like Is he going to provide? Is he going to show up? Is he going to provide? Well, he did all of that before he ever took a rib. He did that before he ever created Adam or Eve or any of us. He made sure that we had enough and more than enough. And I like to think that he's still doing that today. And whatever we've got going on.
He can't not do it because he can't not be faithful.
Really? Yeah.
Okay, back here. Thank you, Laura.
So I was just going to say, kind of on the tails of that, it helps inform my prayer life too, because I find that I ask for things in prayer life that are, you know, maybe not too hard for God. So I always use the example of 8 years ago, my husband and my kids were on a trip and I had to drive myself to the ER. So I went to one of those standalone ERs on the corner that's open 24 hours, and it turns out it wasn't in my network or whatever. But
oh my gosh, so I went, I'm so sorry.
Well, and I eventually had to be transported to Presbyterian, and I was hospitalized for 5 days. But my prayer during that downtime, first of all, I was helpless. I was out of control of everything. And my prayer was that bill would literally disappear. I was like, God, I don't know how that's going to happen, but I made the mistake. I drove myself. I didn't check my network benefits. I checked out of the hospital or whatever. And then it was Christmas time. So I just waited and waited and waited and kept praying that it would just disappear, which I know is ridiculous, but so I even got my explanation of benefits and it said, you may owe provider $11,000. Okay. So I got that explanation of benefits and I waited and waited on a bill. And all of a sudden I drove past, like 3 months later, I drove past that ER and there was a for sale sign on it. Like it had closed, it had shut down. I never got a bill.
Oh, wow.
I mean, drug money. Yeah. If God wasn't in charge of that, then I don't know who was. So Elohim, and so it affects my prayer life. Like now I pray for things to go away. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't, but it's God's plan and He provides. If He doesn't make it go away, He provides.
Right.
So I knew that God would probably provide the $11,000 somehow, but I just wanted it to go away. I was like, this is just, check this off my list. I want this to go away. And it did.
And you never know. It really could be that way, but He is trustworthy enough for you to know that the provision would be met. You know?
Right.
And that's why I think it goes to this place of not fearing, because even when He created seasons, you know, that whole thing, the bad stuff, like the stuff that's hard, it actually could happen before, like it's already taken care of before it even happens,
right?
Which sounds so strange and weird, but yet He can't not be over everything because He's over time. Like time has nothing on Him. And so
it's so counterintuitive for a control freak.
And which we all are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when we were doing our
interactions. I don't want to accuse anybody else. I know I am.
Yeah. No, but that's where everybody was like, yeah, me too, me too, me too. And part of it is because as women, we're created that way. And I mean, we do. We can multitask because we see 10 things at one time. And so it goes to even what you were saying earlier, Carrie, is it's like we can live in who we are created to be in a way that's whole and functioning. And live in trust so that we don't allow it to mess us up. Right.
Right.
Okay.
I think along with what you're saying, just that He's provided before we even get there, the word Elohim and just that in the beginning alone says that there's three in one, that the provision of the Son was there, the Holy Spirit, like all the things we knew we would need before we were ever created.
Yes.
Like how is that even?
I don't know.
But so just even to expand on what you're saying, like,
it really is. And it's like, wait a second. What in the world?
Yeah.
Please let me live in that.
Yeah.
Please let me live in that. It's amazing. Mm. Anybody else? Is there anything about God's chosen order of creation that surprises you or informs you, informs upon further consideration?
I was just going to say, a little bit back to your point, but it also shows us right there, or showed me, I've never seen this, our free will as well.
Yes.
Because he created, and it says, and then I didn't see that God blessed them saying, be fruitful, multiply, mm-hmm. fill the waters in the seas and let the birds. He told the animals, now you go recreate.
Yeah.
He's still over it, but prior to then he had provided all the animals. Mm-hmm. And now you get to go and multiply.
Yeah.
And so I had not, and then again, to all of his creation. And so what was my point?
Yeah, it just goes, but it's the provider in part. It's the allowing of the free will.
That's what I said. It shows that he could have just kept it. I just create. It's all up to me. I do it all. Right. I oversee it, but he yet.
It all obeys him.
But there's that free will, but there's also that we're now partners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. free will, but
it's part of your purpose.
Yeah,
it's actually mm-hmm. part of your purpose.
Right.
And it's part of your purpose because when you lean into it, there's actually something that you get to know about God, leaning into that unique purpose that he's woven within you that is yours. Mm-hmm. And this goes, this beautiful part here, because we all, like, when someone says something, it's like, yes, because we're all people and we all know God. But truth be told, we know him differently in many ways because of our unique, everything about us that's unique. And your purpose is your purpose. It's your purpose, just like your fingerprint is your fingerprint. Nobody else has your fingerprint. Nobody else has your breath. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. I think it was the Overwhelmed book that I was writing. It was sort of like, I want to be overwhelmed by you. And I started looking at the purpose. And I was like, wait a second. Like, no one has your breath. Every single ear is the same. The gait of your, is like yours, unique. The gait of your walk is uniquely yours. No other person that lives, has ever lived, actually walks like you do. I mean, it's just like, wow. It keeps going like this. What? Because we know our fingerprints are different.
The fingerprints blow my mind.
It keeps going. Your breath is only your breath. It's endless. And so it's like, of course your purpose is only yours. And so instead of shying away from it, instead of discounting it, which we're like, you know, especially people with the gift of hospitality. It's like, well, you have such a great lady. I don't. I mean, we all do that. Mm-hmm. I did it to Candy this week, going, because she said I created this. And I really was being honest. I don't feel like it was any big thing. But y'all might look going, oh, that is a big thing. And I need to lean into the ability of going, I don't know why, I don't
it's
get it.
Gift.
Right. But I read it and I'm doing it just like you are, which mm-hmm. sounds really weird, but I clearly forget everything that I've done because it's all brand new to me. And so, and that's where this weird part comes in going, oh yes, look at my notes for PBA.
He's still teaching you.
Yeah. And so it's like, to be able to lean into that and let that just be okay and be who you are is actually a gift.
Yeah.
And it's part of this beautiful creation that started when he said, let there be, and it is good. Dare you lean into mm-hmm. the fact that he spoke the words, it is very good, when you came in to existence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to receive.
Mm-hmm.
I have to remind myself, when we're talking about different flowers, you know, we always say, I'm a daisy, I really want to be an orchid.
I know.
And then you think, you know what, that is insulting to God because he made us.
Yep. He chose for you to be how you are.
Yeah.
Right.
And
don't diss on the mom.
Carnations, they're beautiful too.
Hey.
Especially with all the social media and everything, comparing and just have to keep that
mm-hmm.
in the forefront.
Yes.
And give life to the people that are next to you.
Give the gift to the people that are next to you.
Mm-hmm. Because yes, and the life comes where it's like, this is what I love about you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I see in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I smile when I think about this. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Yeah, just whatever. So that there's like a disconnect from those things that steal from us
mm-hmm.
and a connection with what actually gives us life. Because this is what gives us life.
Okay.
I remember in the tour book where I was so shocked when I made them run errands and they were so just crabby and bad, like you're horrible and mean to me, screaming at me out of the car. And I'm like, get in there, get out the laundry, you know? And they would come back with this like happy thing. Mm-hmm. And I know it was because somebody on the other side of that counter wasn't used to having a kid come in there, mm-hmm. and they spoke to them and human interaction happened. It's when you go to the grocery store, and I bump into Shaniqua last night, and she's like, have you tried that before? What, the bread I'd taken out of the freezer? And I'm like, I love it. And she's like, I do too. And I'm sitting there going, I add more butter to it, to the garlic bread. And she's like, I do too. And I'm sitting there going, and then I see her this morning and it's like, peace out. You know, because there's connection that occurs and we physically feel better. And this is this part of creation that is so alive. And there's so much life into it, regardless the seasons, because he created those two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He created the years. Mm-hmm. So in our world, we're on year 2016 of living through very hard stuff, where one of our kids was diagnosed with clinical depression at 10. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be 26 in a few weeks. 16 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be 16 more. I don't know. I hope not. We now know a lot more of the whys, but he doesn't. And so I don't know, except that I've grown to know the Lord in such deep ways in that period, whatever the season is. And the season hasn't been like me, because I mean, it isn't at all, like at all. There's full life every single day, every single day. There's wholeness in life. And so it's like the seasons don't have to steal from you, because Elohim has got this. Okay. Totally. You know, I know I'm not the only one. How can we see his provision through creation, whether his name is Jehovah Jireh provider, which I think we've kind of already gone through this one, has been revealed or has no bearing on the fact that he is provider, because Jehovah Jireh hasn't been spoken yet, but which really is actually a very cool thing. I'm sitting here now going, don't skip this question, because the fact that Jehovah Jireh is the provider, he's the provider. He can't not be the provider, even though it's Elohim that is being spoken of in this, in these verses. He can't not be who he is. And so you better believe Jehovah Jireh is alive and kicking and on display in creation, as is Jehovah Sabbath. That would be a very interesting exercise for us at the end to go back and look at all the names that we've studied and find them in Genesis 1. That would be cool. But let's remember to do that. That'd be a really fun recap, even at Christmas when we, because I think we hit Shalom right before Christmas, Jehovah Shalom. But it'd be fun to go to Genesis and find every one of those names, which is only a tiny little brief bit of all the names.
Yeah, because he is already providing, like we just pointed out. Yeah. He's already setting up for everything the human would need before he even made them.
Yep. It's amazing. So what can we learn about relationship and purpose as we are introduced to the Trinity, who are three yet one? Where do we see each one at work in creation? What's the first thing you see?
The Spirit hovered.
The Spirit hovered. So we know he's there. And who else do we know is there? We know God the Father is there, and we know God the Son is there because the Word is there. Which is fascinating. And what does that tell us about?
And Elohim is plural.
Elohim is plural. So from the get-go, we see relationship at play.
Where do you see the Son? Like, it's not said, but it's just inferred. Is that what you mean?
Well, John 1:1.
Yeah.
No, but I'm in Genesis. Is that what you're asking?
He is the Word.
Right. Okay.
So the Word actually, and God said, the words are spoken. And here's, okay, so here's what's fascinating, because the Son is the Father, the Lord, incarnate, which means all the earth, he's the part of God that comes to earth in human form. And so this entire part of earth and that part of creation is actually him. It's he is that Word. He's the Word. Mm-hmm. So everything that is spoken is him. That's a mind bender. Okay, and by the way, this isn't like theologians. And so go ask. If something's rubbing you and you're like, I'm not so sure about that, go ask somebody. I'm just telling you, from scripture informing scripture, it's hard to not, like, it's sort of like, where do you put it? It's what it said, because in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And then we see the Lord speak, and he's speaking words. And so, and then all of it happens to be this earthly creation, which is actually what he's going to do at some point, is be in a human bodily form that is the imago Dei. I mean, it's just sort of like, wow. And then you go, oh my gosh. And so this is where it's so fun to ask the Lord, show me who you are. Because get ready, because he's going to show you something totally different than he's showing me. So please say it, because I want to know, you know, because that's powerful. Today, when, or whatever, on this lesson, when I was sitting there going, everything he says, like, it happens right when he says it, I really did sit there going, what did Jesus say? Like, I want to, because if that's the case, that means that whatever he said happens. And that's where I really was sitting.
And I had heard of a book yesterday that this guy, it took him a long time, has, I think his name is Stephen Scott, and he's got a book, and I'll get the name, but it's everything Jesus ever said. All the words. And it's taken a long time to write it, but just taken
right from the Word. And then to let those inform you. And I feel the same way about God's words, which I don't think we slow down on, and God said. Because it's pretty significant.
But then I was thinking, you know, the Word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us, and this is what he said.
It's amazing.
The greatest words ever spoken.
Oh, thank you.
And then to put Elohim in that Google picture with
them. I know.
There are good things on the internet. There are some.
There's lots of great things on the internet. I love the internet. Okay, so, all right, anything else on day one or whatever, on Genesis 1? There's relationship. We see that in the beginning. They're not alone, each has a different role. God the Father is speaking and directing. Jesus, the Word, God incarnate, the human form, which, and I put super interesting to think through and consider the impact of the Word in creation of earth and its existence, because it's life. It's life, especially as Jesus is light and life. That's who he is. In the light of the world, I'm life. I am the waters that you will never thirst again. Come drink from me. I mean, it's just, it takes you straight back to the garden. The Holy Spirit is the breath of life. Breathe into man, like into the Imago Dei. His, it's like he is the essence. And we know that to be true because it is his resurrection power that raised Christ to, from the dead to never die again. That's the power. It, the Holy Spirit is the power. That is the power behind those molecules separating, is the power behind the land appearing, is the power behind the swarms instantly being there, is the power behind the seed that is to grow. I mean, it's like, so we are made in his image, a human body, a soul. I do think this is interesting. We have a human body, we have a soul, and we have an internal aspect of us that will forever be with Elohim, forever.
Okay. And part of me wishes when I read Genesis 1 for however many years ago that I had stopped and waited longer before I read on what happens in a garden and just marinated.
And just lingered.
Because I keep reading this thinking like, okay, now we're about to, all that was provided and it wasn't enough.
No,
we
no.
Didn't think it was enough.
But it was, okay? It's not plan B. Okay, this is where, because forever we've been like, oh yes, if only they hadn't done that. They were doing that. That wasn't an accident. This is what was going, and we learned that in Ephesians 2 last week. You know, it they were his workmanship, his poema, his the intense enormity of it all.
He wasn't surprised.
If there was no, because he created it that way. Why? You know, ask him why. Because there's something about a relationship with him that is so significant, where we live with him and experience him through his Spirit, which was required for us to be able to be in his presence. And it was good enough to, from the beginning, for them to go, let there be. And it was, because they knew, and we see in Isaiah, then Christ knew every single whip that was going to hurt him. He knew what it felt like, every sinew being out of place. He knew the broken bones, what they were going to be, how they were going to be crushed, how it was going to happen, every detail of it before it ever happened. We see it laid out in Isaiah before he was on the cross. And so this wasn't like, oh, shame on them, because that isn't part of the story. And so it's fascinating to sit there and linger in it going, I don't understand. This is not how I would have done it. Like, really? And then go, there must be something about this that you have for me, that this is for me, and it has something to do with your goodness for you, and for you have done it. Because he can't not share his goodness. Like, it's that good. And there's something about us getting to experience him that's different than the heavenly people that know him and see him. Mm-hmm. And we don't know him and see him that way. We experience him. And so when you do see him, it's going to be really deep, like super deep, because of Genesis 2. Hmm. You know? So yes, lingering in it to inform Genesis 2, so that we know that he created the days, and we know that he created the seasons, and that those seasons involve death, and yet it involves spring, which is new life. I don't know. I don't know. So this is where you need to go to your pastor, because I am
not necessarily.
Yeah, I just had a conversation last week.
It's just deep.
And if we had stayed in the garden, we wouldn't know the lows, the deep, dark lows where we lean in. And there are things that we get when we lean in that we can't get unless we're low.
There's something that you for sure get in the lows.
Yeah.
I would argue that it's equally the same in the highs. We tend to rely on ourselves in the highs.
Right? Oh yeah.
And so there's what you get is him. Mm-hmm. And you're getting that in the lows. You're getting it in the highs. You're getting it in every place where you don't see him and have to trust him. Because it's like faith, being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see, is the essence. And that's him. Like, if you look at Hebrews 11, we're so quick to go, well, you know, if I was Abraham, then yes. Or maybe if I'd been Moses, yes. You know, those kinds of things. They weren't going, be me. They were like, it's him. This is him. Job, who am I that you would show me who you are? It's like the gift is him, because it's his power. There's something in those places that are the deepest and the darkest where we reach out to him with nothing but trust, and he never fails us. He can't fail you, because he can't be unfaithful. I can be unfaithful. I cannot look. And it's not like, oh, I can be unfaithful and I can't look. Shame on you. You should look. It's just in those moments of humanness where it's like, this makes a lot more sense. I know exactly what's going to happen, because this is, you know, it's logical. And instead of just going, maybe I do have an idea of what's going to happen, I'm simply going to trust you. This is where I'm going. This is what I want. Thank you so much that you have said, it says in Ephesians, he has made me alive. I'm alive. I get to see life. And I'm alive for one reason only. Because he gave everything for me. Because he loves us that much. And so the deep dark, it's like the storm, you know, the storm. It's like them walking through the Red Sea. None of that made sense. Like, nothing made sense. And yet there was something in them doing that, going, well, we don't know. There's a fire telling us to go. The cloud's now behind us, because it's guarding us from seeing those people that are coming after us. And we're just going to go, and this makes no sense. And it had to have been unbelievably terrifying, because it was a storm that somehow was making that water go like this and the ground be dry. And in doing that, there was a significant experience of Elohim in that. Yeah. Because he wants to share himself with us.
The parting of the waters. So
separate enough water.
It's unbelievable. Because it's happened more than once. Mm-hmm. And it happened again at Jericho. Just the Jordan River stopped. Mm-hmm. What in the world? What storm are you in? What sea are you crossing right now where it feels like these walls of water are coming in? And this is why Isaiah 43 was chosen. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, you know how you pick up scripture and you're like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. Well, it's the same. It doesn't matter where you pick it up. And so, yes, Isaiah 43 says, you will walk through, you'll go through the waters, but they will not rise over you. Okay? So in the middle of the night, I feel like the water's rising over me. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I feel like they're crashing in. But I know that you said, I'm going to go through the waters and they will not go over me. I'm believing you because I know you did that. I know you did it at creation. I know you did it at the Red Sea. I know you did it at the Jordan River. I know you walked on water. Okay, I can breathe. I am breathing. I'm breathing. Mm-hmm. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sabaoth, the one who controls all the molecules, that every single thing obeys you. I'm going to go through fire and I won't be burned and I won't even smell like smoke because I'm yours. And he says that at the beginning of Isaiah 43. Read it. You are mine. I call you by name. And it's Elohim that calls. Are we like at 11? We're close, aren't we?
10 minutes.
Okay. All right. So let's, okay. Is this helpful at all? All right. So Psalm 91, it's just so beautiful. We're going to read Psalm 91 and then please look at Isaiah. I'm just going to read some of the things of Isaiah 41 over you. So Psalm 91, I know you know this psalm or you've probably heard it before. This one's so important because it talks about our dwelling and this hits everything we were just talking about. And here's what I'm really not kidding about. It's just a psalm and it's going to reiterate what we just have been talking about because that's what the Bible does. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that is you. And here's the deal. You dwell there not because of something you did. It's taken care of. He has clothed you in righteous clothing. You are welcome to wear it. Like you can wear it. We can put rags over it. It doesn't change the fact that you dwell in the shelter of the Most High. So please let me dwell there. When the junk through this world is like pelting me, please let me dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And this name of God, Most High, is El-Yod, which means all powerful, all right? The highest, the supreme. There's nothing more supreme. Will abide. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? And do you know what abiding is? It's where you're connected and you can't get unconnected.
My version says kept safe.
Kept. Oh,
I love that.
What is that? I love that.
It's my kid's Bible.
I love that. The NIRB.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. All right. Kept
and
safe.
And the will. Every time we see a will, that's a promise.
And he's the promise keeper. What was the one we were talking about? Elohim is the promise keeper. Okay. This is Elohim. All right.
What'd you say the Hebrew one for Most High is? The Hebrew
name? L. Young. You remember Amy Grant? L. Young.
Uh-huh. I deny.
Yes.
E-L.
And then E-L-Y-O-N.
El Yon.
Okay, and here's me. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Mm. Put it on a note card and put it on your visor. Okay? I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For, and this is the coolest psalm, he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, which is a snare. Anything that's trying to trap you? Homecoming, anybody? And from the deadly pestilence. And pestilence is any disease or anything like COVID, all right? Whatever. He will cover you with his pinions, which are strong pinions. And under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, okay? Nor the arrow that flies by day. Doesn't matter if you're getting up, if you're going to sleep. It doesn't matter. You cannot get out of the presence of the Most High. Mm. Who is your shelter? nor the pestilence. So you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. It's everything that could mess with you is covered right there. So fill in the blank, cover them in. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. So you're seeing everybody fall, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. And here's the deal. When you're sitting there going, that sounds like a heavy burden, like I have to make it my dwelling place. He mm-hmm. is your dwelling place because he took care of it for you. And so simply say the words, please help me receive it. Please help me believe. I'm having a hard time believing. Please help me trust. I just can't. I'm really struggling. And let it go, because you can put Elohim in the insert Elohim. Okay. Because you better believe he does that. Billy, when we were talking yeah. earlier, she was like, the tenderness with which he created every single mm-hmm. little thing to the tiniest detail. It's so beautiful. And that's how much he cares about you even more. Mm-hmm. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Okay, I'm receiving that today, FYI. No evil. Even though the crap that has hit us looks really bad, no evil. And I don't have to take care of it. He did. Mm-hmm. Okay, and see the recompense. Oh, wait, sorry. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. Even if it looks like it's living in your tent, it doesn't get to boss you. It's already been bossed by him. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on a lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. And this is the coolest part. In my Bible, I have the ESV, and here are some quotation marks. And I was like, who's saying this? I wanted to know who's speaking here. And so I went to a couple of other versions to see that in other versions it says, and the Lord God said, because he holds fast to me in love, because that's all I've got. I love you. I love you. Please help me to love you. I will deliver him. This is God speaking. I will protect him, because he knows my name. Thank you so much for sharing your names with us so that we can learn what they are. Let me know what your names are. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Those are some pretty cool I wills. Mm-hmm. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Are you satisfied today? You feel satisfied? No? I want to be satisfied. Let me let you satisfy. Let me let my thoughts dwell on you. And here's the coolest thing. As a human being, and this has been something fun for me to learn over the last few years, it's just the way your brain works with neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
And so when you dwell, it changes your brain paths. So that instead of us being unsettled, we're quickly settled, because we've been settling our thoughts on the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, looking at it daily, informing our thoughts, informing each other. It's so powerful that you legit, full on, can live in peace and wholeness in situations that look everything but whole. Okay? It's the truth. And he spoke it into existence at creation. Okay?
Good.
a few little ditties, and I'm sorry because I'd like to really hear what y'all had written down, but my big fat mouth just kept going. But here are a few things from Isaiah 41. If you're ever in scripture and you're like, just write down what you learn about him. In Isaiah 41, God is speaking, okay? And he offers an invitation at the very beginning to renew your strength. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling weak? His invitation is, come and renew your strength. Approach and speak to me, because he'll start hitting you. My victory is at every step. I trample the kings. He pursues and passes safely on any ground. He calls generations from the beginning. The coastlines see him. The ends of the earth tremble. The ends of the earth draw and come near to each other. He chooses. He calls. He holds our right hand. He helps me. He answers me. He opens rivers on bare heights, which means when it looks totally bare and vacant, there's a river there, and it's the river of life, and a river never stops flowing. He makes the wilderness a place of water. The Holy One of Israel has created it. He knows every outcome before it happens. This is him saying, he declares, he proclaims, he is the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer. Like, he's the answer. He himself calls himself Redeemer, Holy One of Israel, God of himself. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. So he speaks over us. Fear not, I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Elohim. Yeah. What do you need to carry through the week? You know, what is it? What little nugget? I don't know about y'all, but I want to dwell. I really do. And I'm thankful. So thankful. Anything in this that you would like to add that really stuck out to you? That you were like, it just burned, the beauty of it just burned in your heart.
I kind of saw that he makes us, I like the he is in verse 14, I'm the one who helped you. Mm-hmm. He's got like to so many other places for help. Like I think practical.
Yeah.
But this really did add me to trusting him for help.
Mm-hmm.
And turning to him for help. And then all those verses after were, I really felt like that description of he makes us strong.
Yeah.
He makes us able to do.
Yeah.
He makes us a threshing floor and all this, like, he makes us able to do what he called us.
Which goes straight back to creation.
So really, I like that.
So powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
You on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to chew on that too. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. Okay. I think we probably need to go. I can't see what time it is. 11:04. Would someone like to pray for us? Elizabeth, you opened us tonight as well.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful, Lord, for Elohim, for all that means. And Lord, as we head out this week, Lord, remind us and of who you are and help us to dwell. Help us to just rest in you, rest in your power, and that you're the creator, that you have provided everything we need, that we can come to you, that you know us, that you created us. And Father, help us to have peace in that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You guys.
Thank you.